Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Danny Parkin Show.
I like sex. Go to Europe.
French shirt. Sweetness shirt.
On 670 The Score.
It is the Danny Parkin Show. Rami Makhlouf is in with me all week. We're going to talk to John Morosi on whether or not it makes any sense to him that the White Sox would be interested in Tony La Russa coming up at 3:25. Our guy Tom Thayer at 4 o'clock. How you doing, Rami? You having fun?
Yeah, having a blast, man. This is great.
Awesome. I'm going to ask you a favor, because I know it's kind of like your week, your audition, your time to shine, your dream gig, and all of that stuff. But I'm going to ask for just a little space here, if you don't mind.
Just back away from the mic.
I think it's in your best interest as well. Is that okay?
If it's in my best interest, absolutely. No doubt, then. All you had to say was, it's in your best interests, and I would have just shut this thing right off.
Perfect. You don't have to shut it off. You can say anything you want. I'm just saying, I want to handle this one. We've got a little bit of a problem when it comes to discourse in this country right now. I think we'd all agree on that. And there's a lot of real serious things going on in America that need to be discussed and need to be discussed seriously with the highest degree of scrutiny and intelligence and, frankly, scorn. In sports, things rarely raise to that level, but they have recently. There have been things in sports in the last few years that have been worth a ton of anger and vitriol and attention. But there is a column up at the website formerly known as Deadspin right now, written by Julie DeCaro, with the headline, Adam Schefter is a vaucous turd who embodies white male privilege. That I just feel the need to address, because we can't be stooping ourselves to this lowest common denominator, name-calling, faux outrage, everything is a 10 out of 10 offense, got to give everyone 20 years for jaywalking level of discourse. It's not productive, it's not conducive to progress. And if you're always the person, the website, the political party that cries wolf, real reasons to be righteously angry get drowned out and lost in the shuffle and lost in the crowd. So maybe she wrote the headline, maybe she didn't. Again, the headline, Adam Schefter is a vaucous turd who embodies white male privilege. That was from a tweet yesterday from Adam Schefter. 3 weeks from today is a hugely significant day with potential ramifications for years to come. The NFL trade deadline. So he's a reporter who covers the NFL, who wrote a joke about how, hey, the NFL trade deadline, a big day for him, is going to fall on the election day. And so that's going to be weird because he's going to be reporting on the NFL trade deadline while this huge election is happening. You know, a joke, things we used to be able to tell on the internet without people going insane over it. But so maybe she wrote the headline, maybe she didn't. So let's read the column. Sports media is overpopulated by privileged white people, myself included. But it's especially populated by privileged white men who are never called to account for their privilege or use it in any constructive way. America seems, by and large, okay with this. The quote, "leave politics out of sports" crowd has effectively shouted down and exhausted those of us who keep insisting that sports is not and has never been apolitical. For the most part, we try to pick our battles and ignore the rest of it. But sometimes a white media person does something that evidences such horrible or such terrible judgment, such lack of compassion or care for the people they cover, that it merits calling them out on it. Witness then this tweet from ESPN's Adam Schefter. 3 weeks from today is a hugely significant day with potential ramifications for years to come, the NFL trade deadline. See, because you think he means the presidential election, but he actually means the NFL trade deadline. This is a poor attempt at humor during a good year and an FU to every non-white person who has been and continues to be deeply affected by the actions and policies of Donald Trump in 2020. While the president continues to refuse to disavow white supremacy, shout out to Jemele Hill, who is light years ahead of the rest of America on this one, while COVID continues to ravage black and brown communities at 2.5 times more than white ones, while people wait in line to vote for upwards of 11 hours in Marietta, Georgia, this is the joke Adam Schefter decided to make. He doesn't have to worry about these things, you see. As a white man with a high-paying gig, he doesn't have to think about the same things that you do. He'll continue to do well no matter who sits on the Supreme Court, no matter who occupies the Oval Office. Schefter has built his career and reputations on covering a league that is 70% black. It's also a league that is run, coached, and covered overwhelmingly by white men. I have a pretty good idea who the audience was intended to be for Schefter's tweet, but I hope the guys he covers in the league see it as well and remember it next time they decide who they trust with their stories and information. I know, he was just joking, right? Okay, it was a bad joke, but he didn't mean anything by it. At what point, though, do we start holding people accountable for bad jokes that actively ignore harm to others in the name of scoring Twitter likes? When do the white men who cover largely black leagues have to walk a mile in the players' shoes? And my God, when will sports media stop being a haven for mediocre white men to make hay off the suffering of others? Again, if you're just joining us, that is the most recent column from Julie DeCaro on the website formerly known as Deadspin, headlined "Adam Schefter is a Vaucus Turd Who Embodies White Male Privilege." Few things. One, and this can't be stressed enough, it was a joke. It was a joke. It was a harmless joke from Adam Schefter. And by the way, I read the replies. Hundreds of replies, in fact. No one else criticized the joke. White, black, male, female. No one else had any level of outrage over a joke that is fairly well written, actually. And yeah, that would be weird if you're Adam Schefter focusing on the NFL trade. Just a quick question.
Yeah. On Twitter, not one person had a problem with this tweet? Because
I didn't see it. I've
tweeted much, like, even I'm with you, it's just a joke, but many people have tweeted far more harmless jokes than that and get some vitriol back. If you can't find blowback or vitriol on Twitter, you know a joke was harmless. Or it seems that a joke was harmless, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, that's where people go to express that stuff.
It's a pretty harmless joke. And I think I'm pronouncing vacuous wrong, or vacuous, or whatever it is.
I'm pretty sure it's vacuous.
Vacuous, whatever.
I think it's vacuous.
Well, then maybe I'm vacuous, and I'm a mediocre white man. But
I think it's enveloped.
Perfect. Thank you. The second thing, Adam Schefter is hardly mediocre, okay? Adam Schefter worked his way up from being an NFL reporter, I believe for the Denver Post, who has broken thousands of transactional NFL stories and some that have, like, really cut through and mattered, and has become very good at television as a newspaper guy. He has risen to the top of his profession through hard work and sourced reporting and broken some real stories. So, like, to call him mediocre is just, it just shows a fundamental lack of understanding of where some talent in the business is. And I have never met Adam Schefter. I don't work for ESPN. I think I interviewed him once on, like, Christmas Eve in 2013 when I was filling in up the dial. I have no personal bias or connection to Adam Schefter, but it's, like, pretty much universally agreed upon that Adam Schefter is the best NFL newsbreaker in the business, and he's taught himself how to do television and gotten pretty good at it. And so when she says, you know, people never use their privilege in any constructive way, I do know like a, probably about a 50 people who work at ESPN. None of them have ever said a bad thing about Adam Schefter, because Adam Schefter, by all accounts, is a nice dude and a decent guy. And if you look at his pinned tweet, okay, his pinned tweet is a link to his book, which is a memoir, which is called The Man I Never Met. If you're not familiar with this book, he went on Good Morning America and got a ton of national acclaim for this book because it's a very deeply personal story about his current wife's ex-husband who died in the Twin Towers on September 11th. He married a 9/11 widow who had a five-month-old son at the time, helped raise her son, had a child with this woman, and seeks every day to honor the man who she loved and lost on September 11th. This is a guy who seems to have a decent idea about perspective, maybe the failings of leadership that can lead to real tragedy. The guy's got his perspectives in order on what's important in life. And I'm sure, listen, this is just me, mediocre white dude, criticizing a writer, okay? But when you write, when do white men who cover largely black leagues have to walk a mile in their players' shoes? I mean, I haven't walked a mile in a black person's shoes, but have you? Like, do you know what it's like to be black in America? Like, you're offended by Adam Schefter's joke about the NFL trade deadline on behalf of black people? How do you get yourself into that place to be willing to take on that cause when it is not your place and it's not your place to be outraged? Like, I didn't see a single black football player, journalist, anyone be offended by Adam Schefter's joke. I'm not saying that there wasn't any, but I didn't see it. And Twitter's a place where it's not too hard to find people be outraged by things. And again, I don't mean to generalize here, but a lot of the black people I know and hang out with and talk to, it takes a lot more to offend them than a joke by Adam Schefter. Like, they've seen some things. They've experienced some things. They've been through some things. It's good to, like, listen and learn about their experiences. But, like, being offended on their behalf, man, I just, oh, it rubbed me the wrong way. And again, like, I am an ally here. Like, I am in agreement about COVID disproportionately impacting black communities. That is terrible. I'm in agreement on being horrified at the president's difficulty at condemning white supremacy. But, like, from what I understand about Adam Schefter, he would be too. And he is. Like, he's a good, decent dude who doesn't have a bad word to say about anyone. And you made him out to be some, like, MAGA-loving, inconsiderate man because of a joke he told about his job and a big day at his job falling on election day. And I hate this. I just hate this, like, everything is a 10 out of 10 level of outrage that we have to get to this point and we have to be this angry about these. This is a misdemeanor offense, if anything. If anything. And by the way, if we're going to generalize, 53% of white women voted for the guy in the White House too, but I know you don't want to get lumped in with them. So, like, we got to tone down the outrage. We can't give people 20 years for jaywalking. And Schefter didn't even jaywalk, by the way. He's an NFL reporter who told a joke on Twitter about a huge election falling on a huge day in the breaking news world of the NFL. And I am a bleeding heart liberal, okay? I try to be socially conscious. I try my best. I try to acknowledge my blind spots. I try to be considerate. I really do. We can't be the party that cries wolf all the time and gets this mad about these level of offenses. Like, if you're offended by the joke, unfollow. Keep scrolling. Reply with a snarky comment. But to write 1,000 words, 1,500 words, and put it on this big website with this big brand behind it and call him a turd and name-calling and just, like, oh, God, we have to be better than that. Like, our discourse has to be better than that. Like, and let's save our righteous outrage for, sure, the Supreme Court and Charlottesville and the election, but a joke about a reporter? Oh, God. How did we get here? How did we get here that a joke offends people that much. A joke that is so very clearly a joke. It's very clearly a joke. And it reduces people to this and our discourse to that. Man, we've got to do better. We've got to be able to joke. We've got to be able to talk to each other. We've got to be able to come together on some fundamental level and recognize the absurdities of the world around us. And, find some humor in the horrors around us. Or else, how does anybody else cope with any of this? Have you not laughed in the last 7 months? I've had a wild 7 months, but I've laughed some. You got to try to. I don't know. I saw that column and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Because Adam Schefter, by all accounts, seems like a good dude. And he just didn't deserve that. So I'm taking up for somebody who doesn't need me to take up for him. And I'm sure there will be a hit piece out about me in a week or a month or a day or a tweet or whatever. And whatever, I can deal with it. But man, we've just got to tone down the outrage. Focus our outrage in the righteous places where it's deserved and not give people 20 years for jaywalking. And oh yeah, by the way, subscribe to The Defector. John Morosi next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Score.
Hey, John boy, how's the weather?
John Morosi.
Hello to a new adventure. Living my life in Michigan, my home state, surrounded by family and friends.
Columnist for MLB.com.
I usually am optimistic, right? That's not necessarily a surprise on your part, right?
MLB Network Insider.
That's an excellent thought there.
John, all of my questions are excellent, okay?
I mean, they're all great.
Fox Sports Baseball contributor.
Yeah. Fox Sports Baseball God. John Paul Morosi.
I'm a god. I'm not the god.
John Morosi.
How about this for a homecoming?
With Danny Parkins on 670 The Score.
John Morosi on the Danny Parkins Show. Rami Makhlouf is in. You can watch JP, John Paul Morosi on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. He's on the Alpamonte Nissan hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. JP, what's going on, my friend?
Doing well. I'm hopefully finishing up my quarantine here in Texas. I should be with another couple good negative tests. I should be a free man, able to actually speak with live humans and real baseball players at the ballpark during the World Series is the plan. For now, it's actually been great. My wife has been calling this my wellness retreat because I've been here at the hotel. I've got the Italy game on right now. They're tied with the Netherlands in the last couple minutes here. And then I've got a couple baseball games to watch. So all in all, I get some calcio on TV and I got a couple ball games. A pretty good day.
How tight a lockdown are we talking here? Are you strictly kept to the hotel room? Is it that? Is it that tight a lockdown?
So good question, Ram. So basically, the deal is I am allowed 1 hour outdoors per day. So I cannot go to the hotel lobby. I can't go anywhere in the hotel. I go straight from the room, down a staircase, no elevator, directly outside. I can exercise with a mask on for an hour, and then I come right back inside. So I am in this room for 23 out of 24 hours a day. So I've done a couple little grocery deliveries. So I get up, have my cereal. I bought myself a proper coffee mug, which you can see on here now. It says, "I'm not yelling, I'm Italian." So I got that. So I've got a couple little routines. I didn't want to. There's the thing, guys. When you're going to be in the same hotel room for a week and a half, you cannot, especially when coffee is a big part of your life, you cannot drink coffee out of paper cups for a week and a half straight. That's just not going to compute. Non capisco, not going to work. So I had to order a coffee mug, and I got it, and I'm happy.
Dude, we get it. You speak a lot of languages. We know you're just showing off at this point.
No, what else have I had to do, Danny and Rami? I'm here at the room. I got a chance to work on my Duolingo and watch a little soccer and watch some baseball.
Are you learning another language? Did you get like some Rosetta Stone tapes while you're locked in the hotel?
I just have to keep honing. Just have to keep honing the ones that you guys know. I struggle with English from time to time, so I probably should take care of home base first in that one.
John Morosi, MLB Network and Fox Sports, is our guest. All right, what the hell's going on with Bob Nightingale's reporting on Tony La Russa?
Here's what I would say. I have run this by a couple people, and no one has said definitively that it's wrong or that it's off base. And typically, if this was not going to happen 100% definitively, it would have been denied roundly by now. And in fact, Bob's reporting, and I believe this to be true, is that the Angels have now granted permission for Tony to talk to the White Sox. When you start to peel back the layers here, we can argue, and it's a very fair argument, if Tony La Russa, who's been in the Hall of Fame now longer than most White Sox players have been in the league, if you could think about that for a second, that he's been in the Hall of Fame longer than most active careers of the players on the team. Is he the best player to connect to, or is he the best manager to connect with the current generation of players? That's a very fair argument to be made that the answer is no. But my opinion on that matters zero compared to what Jerry Reinsdorf's opinion is. And Jerry Reinsdorf looks at this club and says, we're almost there. We've got a good team. And the idea being, and reports have been, that there were some veterans that were indicating that they thought maybe some higher levels of accountability would have been welcome. The bullpen was not managed necessarily very well against the A's. And whatever you want to say about it, Tony is very good at accountability, and he's very good at managing a bullpen. So he's 76 years old. I get
Come
that.
Come on. But John, it's ridiculous.
Danny, I am not advocating and saying he should be the manager. I'm just explaining to you that no one whose opinion I trust has come to me and said, even off the record, John, this is not going to happen. And so until that happens, I think it's a possibility. I think Bruce Bochy's a possibility. I think AJ Hinch is a possibility. When you are Rick Hahn and you come out and say, I want my next manager to have won a championship and been part of a championship organization recently, and especially if you narrow it down to managers of said teams, then you're talking about in the last 10 years, okay, who's available? Bochy, AJ, Cora, and La Russa. Unless they're going to bring Leland out of retirement, which you're not going to do. I mean, we're getting pretty far back here. Are you going to call up Mike Socha? I don't know. I mean, but this is the kind of manager that you're going for. And unless they're going to call up Lou, I know you've got a couple great people at the station who do great Pinella impersonations. I don't think we have to bring that back necessarily. But the White Sox are not looking for a long-term plan. This is not the Giants hiring Gabe Kapler. It's not the Rangers hiring Chris Woodward. This is the White Sox and the chairman, Jerry Reinsdorf, saying, darn it, we can win the World Series, and my current manager is not good enough. Find me one guy who can manage this team for 1 year, maybe one, and bring me a World Series. And when you look at it through that lens, I'm not saying it's the right play, But you start to see the logic that Reinsdorf has in this particular situation.
But the White Sox are an analytically minded baseball club. Does Tony La Russa and his managing style fit in with that, or is there going to be sort of a clash of cultures and philosophies if he was brought here?
That's a very fair question. I think Tony, let's put it this way. Tony has always been something of an innovator in the game. When you think about the way that he managed the A's, remember when he went to the Diamondbacks, the buzzword was observational analytics, which was his spin on analytics. He basically was saying that there are analytics, but then you have to also use your eyes. I mean, Tony obviously is an older school baseball guy. The guy is 76 years old. I mean, that's who he is in his DNA. But one thing he has done is he has found ways to change and to innovate. And I'm sure if you get Tony in an interview, and if you ask him, hey, what can you do? What can you change? Can you incorporate analytics? He knows what to say. He's a really smart baseball guy. He's an attorney. Let's not forget he graduated from Florida State Law School in like 1968. I mean, he is an attorney. Okay, I mean he knows how to answer that question. And I think that to underestimate him because of his age is a little bit of a mistake. I'm not saying it's the right play. And I would also add, as we talked about before, Danny, we were texting about this. I mean, the fact that, you know, Hinch and Rick Hahn go back 20 years. There's a lot of connections there. It may well be that Reinsdorf has a guy that he wants. Rick Hahn might have a guy that he wants. And Kenny Williams might have a guy that he wants. And we're now at a time where the White Sox, you guys know this, they have always been an organization with some internal palace intrigue. And in a search like this, when you have a team that you think is good enough to win the World Series and you're missing that one component, oh my goodness gracious, to be a fly on the wall of these conversations right now and that organization would be something else.
What percent chance is Tony La Russa the next manager of the White Sox?
I think 30. I mean,
that's
Danny,
too much for Danny. That's too much.
Danny, they've already requested permission.
Reinsdorf
likes
it. I know that.
La Russa clearly doesn't want to just go gently into that good night, and he's feeling that he wants to have one more challenge. There are two opinions that really matter here. It's like Tony, does he want to do it, and does Reinsdorf want him? And Reinsdorf clearly is interested.
That's not true.
Rick Hahn's
opinion matters.
Sure,
Rick
sure
Hahn's
it does.
Opinion matters.
Yeah,
you really
it
think
matter.
Rick Hahn, who traded Sale, who traded Eaton, who traded Quintana, who just jettisoned Don Cooper and Rick Renteria and is analytics and took the reins from Kenny Williams. You think that Rick Hahn is hiring Tony La Russa? Like, to me, this is a favor for Jerry. They leaked it to their mouthpiece, and they can't talk to A.J. Hinch until after the World Series, so they get Tony's name out there. Maybe Tony gets hired by the White Sox in some sort of emeritus role, making a couple hundred grand a year to come home now that the team is good, and he can, you know, watch the games in the skybox with Uncle Jer because they're of the same damn generation. Like, there is no way this
I don't know,
happens.
Danny. Jack
no
McKeon
chance.
Managed at 80. You know, I was looking this up yesterday. I was he's basically La Russa, and this is true. And you would think about sports and different things going on right now. He's the same age as Pat Riley. La Russa is same age as Pat Riley.
Yeah, so, Pat Riley doesn't coach.
I know he doesn't.
Or travel.
Okay? That's a good point. I mean, this is a 1 year scenario. Now listen. Now if you were to argue, okay, and what you're putting forward is a credible argument that this was put out there deliberately, and that the idea is it was put out there, let's say, for one of two reasons: either as a trial balloon to see how people like the three of us react, or to basically say, whoa, your options are either we're going to hire a 76-year-old because the chairman wants it, or they're going to say, listen, the other option is we hire somebody, an A.J. Hinch, who has a pretty significant issue on his resume that we're going to have to get past, which is, of course, the sign-stealing scandal with the Astros. But that, by comparison, when the alternative is 76-year-old manager or a flawed but, in my opinion, very skilled manager in A.J. Hinch, then you say, yeah, you know what? I'm fine with AJ's issue in the past. I'll forgive and move on because I'm not so sure that I want a septuagenarian manager of the White Sox. I mean, that might be the thought process.
But
that would be skilled.
Oh God,
it's so Bush League, man. It's not, that's not necessary PR spin. Like, who is the person that is outraged by AJ Hinch being attached to the Astros scandal that will then forgive that offense because it's not Tony La Russa? Who is this person? And I would call, if that person exists, I want to know who you are. Like, it's a figment of someone's imagination.
Right, that's fair. Oh, how do you feel about Bochy?
Bruce Bochy is a great manager.
I'd be okay with Bruce Bochy, absolutely.
Okay, and he's about a decade younger than Tony. He's got three World Series rings.
That's a big difference.
I know it is. Never having experienced it myself yet physically, the gap from 66 to 76, I'm told, sources say, is a pretty big gap. Okay, it's a pretty big gap.
Yeah, things happen in those 10 years. They're not good, from what I'm told.
I agree with you that this is PR, that this is spin, that Jerry loves him. So you think 30%, so that's like.
I think 30. Yeah.
I'll lay 3-1 for you, and we can.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm not a betting man. I'm not a betting man. My prediction record is speaks for itself in terms of, I said the Phillies were going to win the division this year and everything else. But I just think that there is a credible chance. I'm not saying it's a majority chance, but there is a credible chance that Reinsdorf and Tony look at each other and say, you know what, we're just crazy enough to give this one last shot. And I don't know, maybe has the past year in American life made us all emotional at this stage? Is you know what, hey, let's go for it and have this this attitude that, hey, we're not sure how much longer the world starts to spin the way it's spinning right now, and let's just go for it while we've got a chance. I don't know. I have no idea what kind of mentality they're going to have right now, but it really is a fascinating debate. And to your point, though, why would the White Sox put this out? Why would they have it being talked about? Well, we're talking about the Sox now and not the Cubs. I mean, like, they are a fascinating, and you guys know better than me, that scoreboard is there on the South Side. How many days are we talking about the Sox and not the Cubs in town? And it's a big deal to them.
So let's just do it this way, because I know Bob Nightingale is your colleague, right? So let's remove Bob from the equation. But I think I understand media fairly well. Is it not true that some of your colleagues, and maybe even you have go-to sources, and they have, and in turn, those sources have go-to reporters, and sometimes you guys are getting used, and I don't mean that negatively, but like you said, a trial balloon. Let's float this name out there through our guy to see how it happens. Like, we know Theo Epstein talks to Peter Gammons, for example, to use a different example. And we've seen that Jerry Reinsdorf gave Bob Nightingale an interview during COVID claiming he was losing, nine figures between the Bulls and the White Sox. So, like, we know that Bob talks to Jerry and Bob talks to Kenny. So I just feel like that – no one else is reporting it, I guess is my point. Like, we know that the interview is happening, but it's not as if you and Ken Rosenthal and Jeff Passan and all of you guys are coming out and being like, oh, yeah, not only are they interviewing him, Rick Hahn wants it. Like, this is happening. This is just Bob Nightingale. That's it. And so to me, that lessens the impact of the chance of it happening because I know who the source is, even if Bob would never reveal that publicly. Is that fair?
There's a lot of truth to what you said. And I do think that putting Tony's name out there could serve the interests of Tony and also could serve the interests of Jerry Reinsdorf. Maybe Tony is wondering, of course, he worked last year for the Angels. The Angels just fired their GM. He doesn't know what he's going to do. I mean, Tony likes to be in the middle of things. He likes to be in the game.
Yes.
Okay, you get that. So he worked for the Red Sox with Dombrowski. Dombrowski's kind of now up for some different jobs, and maybe Tony's trying to keep his name fresh and get his name out there. Hey, I'm interviewing. Sometimes, we know this is true in life, sometimes you want people to know who's interviewing, or if you're the person to kind of, ooh, some buzz around this guy's name. You see it a lot in the political world. What happens is people will float the name of potential vice presidential picks to different reporters, and all of a sudden their names, the media scrutiny picks up. They start to sort of vet them out in a media sense. They write some stories, get some buzz. Oh, this person's got buzz. This person doesn't have good buzz. This person has some issue from 10 years ago that's going to come up, so let's bring it up right now. All those different things happen, okay? And so there are some different sophisticated media enterprises out there that I think do things like that, and this may, in fact, fall into that category. But I would just say this, that this is, at the end of the day, you're right, Rick Hahn's voice is important here, but the chairman is the chairman here. And if Jerry Reinsdorf ultimately says that he wants to take one last shot at this thing for 1 year with Tony, then I'm going to stay with 30%. It feels neither too high nor too low for the overall circumstances. And I think that they're both, let's say, self-confident enough that they might say, you know what, baseball, Cognoscenti, and talk radio folks, we're going to show you guys that we know better than you. And they may want to make a little point here. It's a fascinating set of circumstances.
So when you say a one-year deal, do you mean like they bring him in and his successor is sitting next to him as the bench coach, and it's just one sure. dance with Tony, and then he hands it off to? I've never even heard of something like this in Major League Baseball. Is there a precedent for this?
Not that I could really recall off the top of my head, where it's literally a one-year deal. I mean, Jack McKeon managed 90 games when he was 80 years old. That True. Was a half a year. Edwin Rodriguez, I recall, left. It was, I think, 2011, I want to say, maybe 12. And he left, and Jack finished out the year at 80. He was 80. And that was a very unique team and a very unique time for the Marlins. But so I think, could Tony do it physically from a health standpoint? I'd like to hope the answer is yes. And then it's just a question of this is not a long-term scenario. And even then, even if it's Bochy's not coming here to sign a five-year deal. This is about this team is ready to win now. We need someone who will manage the bullpen effectively and really hold these players to account in a way that perhaps Reinsdorf and Kenny and Rick didn't see happening. And that to me is maybe things were a little bit too chummy, a little too buddy-buddy at different times according to what's being said now, and they want to have a little firmer hand. And Tony is many things, and he can be a very – I mean, he is someone that – I'll tell you a quick story. One time I asked him in spring training, Jupiter, Florida. This is like 10 years ago. I walk in, spring training. Hey, Tony, how's it going? How are you? This is now like 11 o'clock in the morning on a random March day in Jupiter. They're probably playing the Marlins in a meaningless Grapefruit League game. Tony, how are you? John, I'll tell you in 5 hours when the game's over, okay? He cares that much about a game in March. I'll tell you in 5 hours. He knew what time it was. He knew when the game was going to – he said, I'll tell you in 5 hours how I'm doing. On a day in March, this guy, every day in the big leagues, you would say whatever you want to say about this guy. He's in the Hall of Fame, and you are – your antenna is up every day that you're around that man in the baseball stadium. I've seen it. I've lived it, and that's just the way it is.
Breaking White Sox news. The Sox have named Tony La Russa as their new manager. Keep it on the score for all the details surrounding this huge move by the Sox here on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're prepared,
Danny.
John.
We're ready to go.
Okay, so how about this? What would you like from me if the White Sox hire Tony La Russa? Because all I'd like from you is if they don't, on MLB Network, you have to have somewhere in a live shot. It could be a coffee mug. It could be a shirt. It could be a pen. Some sort of 670 The Score paraphernalia displayed in a live shot on MLB Network.
That's good stuff. I'm going to have to see if I can get that. Now, listen, I'll be honest with you guys. This is like an on-air production meeting. I mean, like those, like my book titles and the like are somewhat scrutinized by my bosses. And so I have to make sure that I have that I maintain.
You have to get
certain
clearance?
Let's just say I'm given guidelines of what can and can't be behind me. Okay. In terms of like book titles and things like that. So let me just make sure, I will make good on this, trust, in some way, shape or form, in a way that makes you and the station whole. Okay.
Okay.
And let me,
what if we put a temporary tattoo on your neck? They can't tell you what to do with your body. Can they just put a tattoo on your neck?
We're going to have to think about this because here's the deal. First of all, the good news on this is And we know this. They're not going to do anything until the World Series is over because they have to.
Because they're going to hire AJ Hinch.
No, well. So they're going to wait. So yeah. That's probably what's going to happen here, okay? Which is why I'm a little reluctant. I said it was 30%. If I had come to you and said it's 90%, then I would be willing to wear the downside risk here. I have to think about this. I mean, there is a deal to be struck here, but I'm just not sure exactly where the agreement is. I'm going to have to be a little more of a – remember, I'm the son of a country lawyer, guys. I'm going to be a little better negotiator on that one than that right there.
Okay, well, listen, we'll probably talk to you before this happens because, like you said, they can't talk to A.J. Hinch until after the World Series, and they're going to hire A.J. Hinch, and we've got more than a week. So you and I can text, and we're going to come up with the stakes because there is approximately a 0% chance that Tony La Russa is the next manager of the White Sox.
Yeah, well, that's I don't think it's zero. I think it's higher. I'm going to say 30. Because when you start dividing up the pie, if Alex Cora is not, and maybe, who knows, maybe Alex, he's got the connection through his brother to the White Sox, who knows. But the list of possibilities, if Rick is really going to stay to championship organization manager in recent vintage, the list is by definition not especially long. And so the list of possibilities, carve up the pie however you want to, but Tony's got a slice of it. I don't know how big, but it's a slice.
Yeah, but it's a good job, right? Like, you would agree that...
Yes.
Right. So
it's a great job.
Right. So it's a great job. So they're going to have multiple choices from that admittedly small pool of candidates.
And let me mention this one thing. Now, granted, I realize he has not won the World Series, but who knows with what's going on in Oakland and Billy Beane leaving, is Bob Melvin available? I think Bob Melvin's one of the best five managers in baseball. Okay. He has not won a World Series. There is not the same level of playoff success. But I think he is an excellent manager.
We agree. John Morosi, go back to your coffee and your soccer and your bubble and your bad percentiles, okay?
And when is yard time? Did you have yard time already this morning? Or when is that happening?
My yard time is coming up. I'm going to take my run here. It's a nice little experience. I had my back turned because I didn't want to distract myself. I had my back turned. I got to see what happened at the end of the Italy game, and I'll get back to you guys, all right?
All right, John. Thank you, sir, as always.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, that's John Morosi. That was the segment, Rami, where we just invite on an actual expert and insider and then berate their takes and opinions. It should be sponsored.
You did not want to hear that 30%. You were not hearing that.
It's just wrong.
So, guys,
it's just
So when I was talking to John in the talk back before he went on, he's like, oh, lots of interesting Cubs and Sox angles. It's very interesting postseason. I'm like, John, we're not going to get to that.
Yeah, no.
All about Tony La Russa.
Postseason? What are you talking about? There's a postseason?
Postseason. Stop that. That is nonsense.
You can't get upset with a guest just because you don't like their answer. That's his answer. That's he's giving you his honest truth. You can't get upset you can't get upset at the truth, Danny. That's not something that you do, is it? Do you just get upset at the truth from time to time?
You're catching on. If I don't like your answer, I'll tell you. Especially me and John go way back.
So sure.
I can tell him exactly. You know, I'll be a little bit more deferential and respectful to Tom Thayer coming up at 4 o'clock. We get along great, but we don't know each other in quite that way. So it's a little different. One of our favorite baseball people also said something really dumb. Not sure if we have time for this coming up. Tanny will let me know. We got Tom Thayer at 4 o'clock, but you'll get this audio soon enough. It's the Danny Parkin Show on The Score.
But with the Kershaw scratch, with the back spasms, they say he's going to go game 4. How much of that you think carried over? Was there a carryover there from being in that clubhouse and finding that out and kind of the lifeless feel early?
There's no question about it. And again, we have to be fair to Clayton Kershaw. Mm-hmm. We're not doctors. We said that in the pregame. We'll say it again. But look, if you walk into the clubhouse and you're the Lakers and you don't have LeBron James playing or Michael Jordan or Muhammad Ali, this is the type of name that Clayton Kershaw is. He's the game's biggest star, biggest pitcher when it comes to pitching over the last 15 years. When he is scratched, I know, again, if I had Andy Pettis scratched, I would be so bummed, disappointed, and I would lose my mojo. How about you, Poppy?
I'll tell you what.
A-Rod, where does that rank, Tanny? Because do we have more from last night, or is that what it is? Because he opens his mouth and he says things, and they're just always weird. So
you're the Lakers, and you don't have LeBron James playing, or Michael Jordan, or Muhammad Ali.
So what? Good.
Now that's a super team.
Yes.
That's the super team of all super teams. Yeah.
Yeah. LeBron would definitely want to get with that super team.
Yeah. Jordan never had to do that. Let me hear that team again that A-Rod put together.
You're the Lakers, and you don't have LeBron James playing, or Michael Jordan, or Muhammad Ali.
Man. What could
it was weird. It was weird enough when he pulled Michael Jordan out of Muhammad Ali is a boxer, man. Where do you even pull Muhammad Ali from? That's not even a team sport, dude. That's like if Muhammad Ali doesn't show up for his sport, it's just one guy in the ring. It's just basically an empty ring. If he's trying to make an analogy to any other team sport, where did he get Muhammad Ali from? I'm so confused by Alex Rodriguez.
There's nothing that. There's nothing about it makes sense other than if you would have told me, like, that quote was said by an analyst during a baseball game. Oh, A-Rod. Like, that.
For sure. That would definitely be my guess. Yep.
Yeah. If you would have said that quote was said by an analyst during a sporting event, you'd be like, ooh, A-Rod or Bill Walton. I don't know. But
you're the Lakers, and you don't have LeBron James playing, or Michael Jordan, or Muhammad Ali.
So weird. He's just the weirdest dude ever.
Okay, so I'm not alone here in thinking A-Rod is terrible at his job, right? I mean, he was a good baseball player, obviously, but as a commentator, as an analyst, he's the worst, right? Because in my previous two stops in radio, I would say that, and I felt like I was fighting the whole world when I would say that. Like, I was all alone on that. So I have found like-minded folks who agree that A-Rod is awful as an analyst and a commentator.
He's from Canada, but he thinks about investing. He thinks about how he handles family, charities.
Because Canadians don't care about charity. We don't agree with you, Rami, because we love how awkward and weird he is.
Okay, you only get so many windows in this game to really be completely and totally locked in.
Speaking of windows, I'm assuming you're a Steeler fan if you grew up in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Man, Rami's laugh is a real asset to this show.
Thank you. Teddy, do you have the cut where he says that he says odd number leads are better than even number leads in baseball. So a one-run lead, not as good as a two-run lead in Major League Baseball.
I just love the bunt here. I love getting them over to third base, making the game 3-1. You always want even leads versus odd leads. Why? The solo home run doesn't tie it, and the grand slam does not beat you. Keep it simple.
Keep it simple. That's the cherry on that sundae right there. The keep it simple. After it just sounded like a jackass for about 30 straight seconds. At the end, just drop that keep it simple on the top of the sundae.
I'll tell you who's my sleeper is the Astros.
Bolt. It's a bolt call.
Man, that is a tiny little limb A-Rod is stepping out on there.
Every single network. He already is employed by Fox and ESPN. Every single baseball network should hire him.
I don't get it, man. I don't get it. He has to have pictures of somebody. He has to. It doesn't make any sense that he's employed in this business.
I love it. I want it just for the awkwardness. Tom Thayer, never awkward. How do the Bears replace James Daniels? Was he their best offensive lineman? We'll talk to Thayer next on The Score.
Better than any concierge. You always ask the other team.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.